Welcome to the Diary of a Sales Expert podcast. My name's James White, and I'm on a mission to help business owners and sales professionals all over the world get incredible sales results. So thanks for listening, and let's get started.
Okay, welcome back to the podcast. And this week's episode is all going to be around the very unique subject of why do companies fail? So the reason I'm sharing this is in the last few weeks here in the UK, we've seen one of the most iconic retailers ever, a lady that epitomised sort of the entrepreneurial spirit and journey, a lady called Nita Roddick, who founded a business called The Body Shop. And sadly, The Body Shop was and is going into administration in the UK here, which is a sort of indication that it might well be bought out of administration. But the reality is, it's highly likely that that business is sadly going to fail. And I thought about that, and but I also thought about relation to a number of things around why companies fail in themselves. And if you look at retail as an example, you've seen in the last few years Wilkinson's, you've seen Debenhams, you've seen, you know, quite some very big organizations that have failed. And not just in organizations like that, you can see other examples of companies that have been household names, you know, but have either failed or are nothing compared to what they were. So when I was, you know, started my business journey, I had a BlackBerry, and a lot of people listening to this going, what's a BlackBerry? Or is a BlackBerry is the fruit? No, there was actually this company that made this product called the BlackBerry. It was kind of a company called Research in Motion. And even before that, when I first started my business career in 2003, I had a Nokia phone. And Nokia phones, I remember the first mobile phone I bought was a Nokia phone. And I just want to share some stuff today, a little bit around why companies fail and what the reasons are for that. And also what we can learn for as business owners to be in a position so that it doesn't happen to us. And it involves, you know, a number of things around business in general, but the main focus really is staying ahead of the curve. And I want to share that really with you based upon a couple of stories that I think are relevant. In fact, I'll start with a story that I think is relevant. So my dad was a sales director. He was a brilliant sales director for a security company based in the UK. And he ran a team of 20 odd salespeople. And he was fantastic at what he did, and he achieved revenue targets month on month for some 20 years. He literally was just a brilliant sales director. He taught me so much about, you know, there's a YouTube video I do on how he was successful and how he achieved results. But he basically motivated and inspired a group of 20 salespeople on the road selling security products to become successful. Anyway, he always hit his numbers, and he was always good at what he was doing. But he hit a bad patch, and he was, you know, he got bonuses and, of course, other great things. But he hit a bad patch just as he approached his 55th birthday. And for a couple of reasons, he found it impossible to hit his target for 4 months in a row. So basically, he didn't achieve the numbers. And in two of those months, he was way below his targets that he set. And you know, even though he'd hit 127 months in a row of targets, he missed four, and his company at the time said to him, thanks very much, but we think it's time for you to go into early retirement. And he got some bit of a payoff, but that was the case. And the reason I'm sharing that story, and he went on and had another successful career before he retired, he retired at 55. But the reason I'm sharing this story, and it's one of the reasons why I think companies do fail, and I'll share some examples of that, is they tend to, unfortunately, do two things. They tend to get complacent, for one, and when we get complacent, we end up getting caught by other situations and things and circumstances around us. And the second thing they do is they also lose track of, and we also, the reasons things fail is because we lose focus on the key things that made us successful in the first place. So A, we become complacent and start assuming that life's going to do it what we want it to, but we also then start to focus on other stuff. And become complacent and really start to, as I say, lose our reason for what we do in the first place and lose the reason that made us good. And in a lot of cases, when I look at businesses that are failing at the moment or that are not having the best of times, yeah, there's another organization we work that's again gone into chapter 11 redundancy bankruptcy in the US. The fundamental thing that I talk about within any company, which links to my dad and his story, and is the number one reason why I think companies do fail and go out of business, is sales. And it's the reason why I love what I do as a sales mentor, and it's the reason why I'm passionate about helping companies grow and achieve things, because my message to companies is always one clear thing, and that's if sales are coming in, and obviously we assume that the sales coming in at a rate that's, and that maybe we'll come on to that as point two, but if the sales are coming in, then you are in a good position as a business to at least be able to define your own destiny. And in most cases, where you start to look at the organizations that failed, where my dad failed, is that for 4 months, the sales didn't come in. And the organizations that are failing are the organizations that aren't bringing sales in consistently. Now, obviously, when you get to a bigger size company, the sales will come from a multiple of areas. It will come from multiple channels. It will come from, you know, whether it's direct or from retail or from wholesale. It'll come from a mixture of channels. And that's why having a sales lead or a chief sales officer or a chief revenue officer, I think, is the most important role that any company can have. Is if you do not continue to make the tills ring and the tills buzz, as I say, your business will struggle. And I know, sadly, of a couple of organizations recently who have been trying to grow, who have been, you know, there's a consultant that came in and tried to put in place a structure to help them grow. And they added lots of cost to the business, but they didn't grow their revenue at the same time. And because the revenue didn't grow alongside the cost base, eventually, when the revenue still stayed the same, the senior people who were involved in making the decision said, no, we don't want this, and made lots of cuts. So actually, if you don't grow your revenue, not only and grow your business and have that hunger for sales and to drive new business on a constant basis, then I think you are potentially running the risk of being the next body shop stroke blockbuster, being the next, you know, Wilkinson, or to be the next Nokia or BlackBerry, because ultimately we have to drive sales of what we do, and we have to build pent up latent demand for our services, and then be in a position where we supply that demand. And the job of good business owners and the job of good CEOs is to make sure that there is more people that want to do business with you than you have capacity for. And if you do that, you will create demand, and you will create an excess of demand over supply, which ultimately enables you to maintain prices and deliver a quality of what you do. And if you look at, you know, some of the best watches, you know, Rolex watches, they have more people that want to buy a brand new Rolex than they have capacity to supply that, which means that the sales keep coming in because we all want things that we can't have. So the first point to me around why businesses are failing is a lack of sales and a lack of consistent sales. As you get bigger in through an organization, so you understand that the ones and twos that might come in is, or the ones and twos of bits of business that come in while you're smaller, you have to ensure consistency, and you ensure consistency by building sales engines and sales teams and sales structures that ensure that over a period of time, the good work happens, and that, you know, that you can cope with then the odd day here and there because you've got a consistent engine to run and drive business. And that's by, you know, putting in place activities that generate leads, by having the right processes and people in place to follow up on leads, to be able to ensure they're trained and well enough to close on the leads you've got. That engine sort of becomes paramount. And if you don't have that engine or that element in place, and in the retail world, that's the people in shops, if you haven't got people with the skills and the energy and the drive to drive sales and make sales happen, then you will struggle. And I give an example of a retailer that's not doing particularly well recently in the UK, but I'll give an example of a retailer that is doing well. You know, my wife works for a leading clothes manufacturer based in Somerset. They make fantastic country jackets. That's all I'll say. And they are brilliant at what they do. And her and her team, or the team that she works with, have a daily target that they are expected to hit at the shop. And they have a daily target and a weekly target and a monthly target. And the team are focused on hitting those targets. And they provide them with training and support to make sure that they are selling things on a regular basis. And obviously they can't affect certain things because, you know, they understand that there are certain things out of their control, like where they are, they need people to come to the shop. But what they can do is when people do come into the shop, that they provide them with this great experience. And my wife was telling me the story the other day of a gentleman that came in to her shop, as I say, which is a high quality British brand, clothing brand. And by having conversations and by building relationships with that person, by having discussions with them, they spent over £900 in the shop in the course of a half hour period and bought 13 items, mainly because she was able to just have great conversations and find out what that person wanted to do. So the first point for me is you've got to be in a position where you drive sales consistently. And if there's one thing I'll say to you, that's why I'm passionate about what I do. If there's one general issue that most business owners when I talk to have is that they don't feel there's enough. They always want more to come in. Sales has to happen on a regular basis. And I really encourage you to make sure that you if you want to not be that company that's in the news as being the one that's failed or being left behind, then make sure you focus on driving sales. Now, the second part of why companies fail is down to, and this is, and by the way, the third one you'll know, which we'll talk about in a moment, is a common reason why companies fail. But the second reason why I think a lot of companies fail is complacency. And I want to tell you the story of, there was a great story that was shared a number of years ago of the ex-CEO of Blockbuster. So if you remember Blockbuster Video, when I was growing up, Blockbuster Video used to be this place where you'd go and get your videos in the high street. They had all these videos. And if you remember, this is before streaming. And again, I'm going back probably 15, 20 years. But you would literally go to Blockbuster and rent a video for the night. And what I mean by complacency, a lot of times companies they think that what they've got in their marketplace is all good. And they sort of lose that hunger and that desire to stay on top of things. And the net result of that is, unfortunately, because we live in a world now where we are in such a fast-moving world, the world passes you by. There's this great story of Blockbuster. And so when Netflix, which we all now know is this multi-billion dollar company in the US, when Netflix was really small, Reed Hastings, the CEO of Netflix, went to see a guy called John Antuccio, who was the ex-CEO of Blockbuster. And at the time, John Antuccio was the chief executive and chairman of this, like, I don't know, $10 billion company, massive company. And Reed Hastings, Netflix's revenues were tiny. I think someone said it was like $50 million, or not even that. They'd had some funding, but they were really small. And Reed Hastings went to John Antuccio and said, the world's going to change. People are going to move away from being in a position where they are going to the high street to get a video. They're going to do things online. The internet's going to change things, and we're going to become the equivalent of you online. But I'd rather work in partnership with you, so that, you know, I'll be your brand online and you be my brand offline. So basically, you be the Netflix brand offline. And John Antuccio, the rumor has it, looked at Reed Hastings and looked at him and said, you know, who the hell are you coming into my office? You're a small startup. You know, you don't, you know, what the heck are you doing? I'm a, you know, CEO of a multi-million pound company, blah, blah, blah. You know, I do not take that, you know, I don't need you. I don't need that at all. You know, your company can go and do one, basically. And, you know, 15 years later, the rest is history. Blockbuster doesn't exist. And yet Netflix is what most people around the world have as a license for. So I guess, you know, that complacency and that element with companies that we think will be stay the same thing is part of the problem. And I remember, you know, BlackBerry didn't take Steve Jobs seriously when they talked about creating a new device that would sort of link for, you know, we had the Sony iPod, the Apple iPod. But, you know, when Steve Jobs was talking to BlackBerry about creating a phone that did the same thing, you know, they were literally, no, we don't think that will work. You know, this won't work for corporates. Corporates will never use iPhones. And, yeah, lo and behold, now, you know, if you find someone that uses a BlackBerry right now, please do let me know, because I don't know anyone anymore. Most people are using either an Android phone or an Apple phone, and the world has changed. So I guess the key thing for me, point number two around complacency, is building your business or building your, you know, your company, and make sure that the leaders in your company have got this obsession by understanding what's going on in your marketplace. What are your buyers' biggest challenges? you know, what frustrations does your buyer have with the marketplace that you operate within? What are they? What does, you know, your buyer think is an impossible issue to solve, and what stops the buyer from doing more business with you? And what's driving your buyer's agenda right now? What sits on the top shelf of their priority list? And I think from our perspective, you know, my perspective, what will happen if buyers can't achieve what they want? Because if we get complacent and still stay in this world of, everything will be okay, it'll be fine, it'll be okay. Well, fortunately, we may be okay, we might be right. But the reality is, in lots of cases, the chances are we're going to get eaten up, and society and the world is going to pass us by. And there's a great quote that's just Stuart Rose, who's the chief executive of, was the chief executive of Marks and Spencer's. I think I'm not sure where he's the chairman of that, but he's a very senior businessman. And his quote, great quote that he said around businesses, he said, the job of a CEO is to keep looking out at the window to see the world passing by and ensure they're keeping up with it. And I thought that's a great quote about making sure that we stay ahead of the time. And it's very easy when we're senior people in busy roles, in busy lives, to sort of stay as we are and to ignore what's happening in front of us and ignore what's happening in the world around us and to get complacent and to focus not on the buyers and what the buyers want, but just focus on what we think is right. And unfortunately, the world will come and bite us on the backside and cause us issues. And I think the second reason why a lot of companies are generally failing after the fact they don't have sales coming in is they get complacent. They start to literally think that no one's going to change their position. Their position is solid and it's all okay. And yet the reality is there's lots of companies that unfortunately will come in, especially in a new technology, when technology can do so many things now, can change things around dramatically and solve problems or challenges or issues for the buyer. And that's why my point number two is just get obsessive about what's going on in the buyer's mind, what's driving them. Just get focused on understanding their world and what's happening there. And I really think if you can do, then you're going to be in a great position to then, you know, not be, if you can get obsessive about what's driving your buyer, what's driving their agenda, what's concerning them, what's stopping them from making progress, that it can enable. And you can do that by having conversations with them, taking them out for lunch, taking them out for dinner, whatever it is that you need to do, then hopefully it can help you stay on top of that process as well. And then point number three is, and before I get to go, there's a great quote actually from Andy Grove. Andy Grove was the CEO of Intel for a number of years, written some brilliant books. And Andy Grove put a great quote talking about complacency. He says, success breeds complacency. Complacency breeds failure. Only the paranoid survive. So I guess what I'm saying to you is ultimately, even if you're doing really well as your business, just think right now, if you stop innovating, if you stop thinking forward, if you stop looking at what the marketplace is doing and the trends and is going on in your industry, you can be eaten up. So as Andy Grove would say, you know, complacency breeds failure, only the paranoid survive. Be paranoid and, yes, if you're making good money on business, great, but always think, what could change this? What could affect our market? What could swap this around? And obviously point number three of why companies fail is cash. They simply don't have cash. Now, cash is directly linked to number one, because they are in a position where they're not bringing enough cash in, they're not bringing enough sales in. But it also links into some operational efficiencies in business around, for example, things like credit and making sure that they've got, a really strong and solid process to which to manage money in their business. And again, as companies get bigger and, they bring, people in from finance or have financial skills and expertise and to operate this and to ensure that the cash comes in. And I'm chairman of a construction services company. And one of the challenges that we face is someone said to me once, oh, this industry is just bad for that. And, I was hearing terms from one organization there was an organization called Carillion that was a quite a big, large, big building contractor that went bust, I think about 2 years ago. And the reason being is that they were on 180-day payment terms. So if you think about what that means is they were on payment terms where they would do the work today and then not get paid for that work until 180 days from now. So 6 months, nearly. So it's like, and don't get me wrong, there are some deals at large company sizes where payment terms can be extended. But if you can't collect cash, and I mean cash and as in real funds into your business that you need to be able to use to pay suppliers and pay your team and pay your offices and do your marketing, if you can't collect that cash, then ultimately you are going to be in a bad, bad way. And cash is your king in every business, and it's king because you've got enough sales coming in and you're focused on that, and then you're also focused on the credit and credit control and making sure that the invoices that you've sent and the monies that you're owed get brought into the business. And if you don't do that, then you're also going to find that it becomes a real, real struggle for you. And there was a great, again, story of how Woolworths, and if anyone remembers Woolworths, apparently it might be coming back to the high street in the UK. Woolworths, a number of years ago, they lost their business because the business went under because people used to go into Woolworths and buy CDs and records. And basically, the company hid, one of their suppliers heard that they were facing some difficult times. And so instead of giving them 30 days payment terms, which is pretty standard, maybe 14 or 30 day payment terms, they said, we can supply you these CDs and these items, but we want cash straight away because we think you've got money worries. And that then caused their cash, because that was a large portion of their business, to be focused, whereas they were used to having 30 day terms, they were having to pay up front. And that then caused an effect elsewhere, which in the end meant they couldn't pay other suppliers, which then created other problems. And before you know it, the whole thing went to shit. So collecting cash and putting the right procedures in place is vital for that. And what are the methods that, you know, you can do for that? You know, check the credit safe worth. You know, if you're in a sales role or in a business role, check the credit worthiness of your client you're working with. There are some tools now that will check the company and check the details of that for you. Or be in a position where you ask for payment up front, for example, or payment in advance. So in my software business that I ran, we used to make sure that people paid in advance. They were using the software. We didn't say to them, you can give us money at the end of the month for using the software. No, it's like, if you want to use our software, you pay now. And they paid on that basis. Or people will pay, you know, we'll literally 50%, you know, on one time, and then the other 50% after that. So just be able to make sure that you are good at getting the cash in and manage your numbers effectively. You know, the businesses that I'm involved with, one of the key things I talk about a lot is, how do we manage our numbers? How do we look at what our forecast is for sales, what our cost base is, and what we've spent, what are our budgets to do things, so we can then look at the end of each month, let's look at our numbers. What happened? What was our P&L for the month? You know, did we make money? In which case, great. If so, where were our costs higher than planned? And we are, you know, all over, and I'm all over those numbers to make sure that we don't head walk into a problem later down the line. And that tends to happen when we unfortunately take our eye off the ball, when we get complacent, when we assume things are happening, and then things go awry from there. So look, there's my podcast on the three reasons why businesses and fail. And as I mentioned at the start, my dad, you know, it's about bringing sales in. You have to bring sales in. If you're in a sales role now and you're successful, great. But don't think for one minute, just because you're successful now, that means you're guaranteed a job forever. In my dad's case, he was successful for months in a row. And yet when he had a bit of a bad time, they saw, you know, the company saw it as a time to let him go. So continue to bring the sales in, continue to make the tills ring. It's critical. Point number two is, don't be complacent. Complacency breeds failure. And, you know, as Andy Grove said, you know, be paranoid, continue to look ahead and see what the market is doing. You know, just have that consistent desire. I always say, if you're not going forwards, you're going backwards. So be in a position where you continually stay ahead of the curve. And then point three is, be good at collecting the money that you have. Have some policies, have some structures in place that can protect you and the business. Employ people that can come in and that can make sure you collect money. And if you put those three things together, you're going to hopefully be in a position to, you know, be successful over the course of the next few years in whatever your business is doing. So I hope that podcast is helpful and give you some insights as to why I think companies are failing. Those three things, sales, complacency and cash collection, are the key things. But let me know, what are the other things that you've noticed and you've seen in companies that you work with? I'd be intrigued to know what you think is the reason why companies fail. I think there are obviously nuances and other reasons as to why certain things happen at certain points. But I think the points that I've shared here are certainly the key things that most people that run businesses would say, yeah, you've got to make sure those things happen to keep you in a great position and to do what you need to do and stay alive. So as I always do, I finish the podcast on an inspirational story. So I wanted to share a story today of a guy called Lewis Pugh. Now, Lewis Pugh is a lawyer, and I've just recently started to do some cold water therapy. I say recently, for the last year and a half, I've been doing cold water therapy. And cold water therapy is very good for you as a mind. I'm going to do another podcast on some things that you can do to help improve your own sort of health and fitness and those sort of things. But I came across Lewis Pugh because I found out that he swims in water that's so cold that it makes his fingers freeze, and it's even frozen his tongue. And he has front crawled across a glacial lake beneath Everest, and he was the first human being to swim across the North Pole, where, as well as hypothermia, he also faced hazards such as leopard seals and you know, ice blocks that are sharp floating in his path. And the reason he does, and by the way, he does this, if you ever search for him, Lewis Pugh, he does this in pair of Speedos. So this man is like properly hardcore when it comes to cold water swimming. And he does this because he believes passionately in the marine environment. He believes that climate change is melting the sea ice. And he does these challenges and these things too, so that he can inspire people to realize that we have to change in the world to stop that happening. But when I look at, you know, what this guy has done, how he's, the challenges that he's been through to swim in those environments, to swim across the North Pole, I mean, goodness knows how cold it is, to be able to control your mind and body so you can handle that and swim that and achieve the challenge. Wow, incredible inspiration for me. So Lewis Pugh is the story that I'm sharing today, an inspirational. Have a look at what he did and what he does. Yeah, if you think it's cold outside in the UK or in wherever you are in the world right now for you, then just imagine what it's like to swim for hours in the North Pole. That to me says, it says two things. It says, A, if you're passionate about a cause, you can achieve anything. And B, what we can do with our brains and our minds and our, you know, to make our bodies do incredible things is just bonkers. And, you know, people say it can't be possible, but he's still alive. He's done it. We can achieve incredible things if we put our mind to it. And so use that as inspiration to achieve whatever you want to in the next week or coming months ahead. But that's it from me this week. I hope you enjoyed the podcast on why companies fail and the story of Lewis Pugh. If it's given you inspiration to go and be something better or do something different, then I'm glad it has. But as ever, please thank you so much for sharing, for liking the podcast and for listening. And if you can share it with others so we can make sure they get the inspirations and ideas to help keep their businesses glowing and thriving, then that would be fantastic. But until next week, I'll see you soon. Take care.
So thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you've enjoyed. If you have, please subscribe to the podcast. It helps us ensure more people can get the insights and ideas they need to get incredible sales results. Look forward to seeing you on the next episode.